for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I had a rocking Memorial Day, to be honest with you. I don't know if you take my shirt off, I could show you. I'm all tanned up here. I'm Brown's God here today. Spent all day yesterday afternoon out on Buckeye Lake on a boat, on a pontoon boat. Sucked up the sunshine, jumped in the water, just had a relaxing time. Turned the phone off, wasn't getting text messages, it was good. So I'm a little bit refreshed here this morning. As most of you go back to work today on what is a Tuesday morning, not a Monday morning, although it sure certainly feels like a Monday morning. And boy, honored to be here with you today. What a weekend. I've been through it, man. It has been a crazy, crazy weekend. By the way, if you're listening out there, we got a slot or two left here on the queue this morning. Some of you having a slow day getting up. You want to just go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle, and you can jump in right here with us today. Because we always love to hear from all of you. And your 2 cents worth is always worth 2 cents here. And remember, Scripture teaches us that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. So the more the merrier. Come on in and join us. I don't want to talk about this today, but I'm going to throw it out there because I did notice something over the weekend. Seth Rich thing's coming apart, man. This Seth Rich, it's going to be a biggie, I think. You know, ever since these WikiLeaks stuff broke way back a year and a half ago now, back July, I think it was, so a year ago. Man, it's almost July again. Maybe that'd be 2 years ago? I don't know. Whatever. They've been trying to cover everything up best they can. Russians did it, blah, 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 blah. Well, we're now finding out that this Seth Rich murder investigation, which wasn't done, was not an investigation. Seth Rich is the one who released all the documents, the DNC documents to WikiLeaks. Stuff's all coming out now. And I believe this is going to be, I've never seen anything like it where they're trying to shut up more people than they're trying to shut up on this one. Because there's some real dirty goings on that went on. And I'm not going to talk about it today, but just know this. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Do we understand that, folks? It's all going to come out. Now, here's what we're going to have to do. And it's going to kind of dovetail me into really what I want to talk about, because it's bothered me all weekend. I want to make this public declaration. He who findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. And I can't tell you how much I love my wife. And I can't tell you how much my wife and I are one. You know, the Bible says the two shall become one. And my wife is my greatest supporter. And there's been a lot swarming around us this weekend. And my wife is always there. Michelle's always there to say, no, you're right. You keep going. You keep speaking the truth. You're right. Don't back up. You keep, rather than the natural thing for you to do when you begin to get attacked is to cower. But I tried to share some of my friends this weekend. You know, the lefties came after us pretty good. Boy, I got some sun, didn't I? The lefties came at us pretty good this weekend. And I don't care about it. Listen, you lefties out there that are writing me, listen, I'm telling you, I could not care less what you write. Most of them I don't even read, okay? So that's not having an impact on me. But I have to tell you that the spiritual assault is more real than the lefties. You know, when you've dived into something, you know that when you get into something, as I say, you know you've hit the target when the pigs start to squeal, okay? And you won't believe this one, Sarge. Larry, I got an email from some lady yesterday. She's never watching again because I killed those skunks. I'm not making it up. She's never watching again because I killed those precious little skunks. Well, we got another one yesterday. There was a fifth one. But she can relax a little bit because I made my son-in-law kill it. So I didn't do it. He did it. Send the emails to him. Man, did they stink. And our dog got in. I talk all that. See, listen, there's a spiritual lesson in here. I'm telling you, there's a spiritual lesson. Here we are still 3 days later, and we still smell like those things. You know what I'm talking about, huh? Drain the swamp, all that stuff. So I tip my cap to Michelle. just because she's such a great helpmate. We really are one. But I've had some stuff gnawing at me this weekend. Even when I was out on the boat with my feet kicked back, playing with my grandkids, something was gnawing at me that I really want to speak with you about today. I maybe won't take long, may take longer than necessary. But here it is. Listen, I'll tell you something right now. Do I do that first, Lord? Okay, thank you, Lord. Some of you, blessed is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, go there, Jared. Psalm. I hope you receive this in the spirit which I'm giving it, okay? I'm not looking for followers, so please understand that. I ain't looking for followers. I'm saying just before I came on the show, I was telling Linda before I came on the show. I learned a long time ago in my coaching career. Proverbs: the fear of man is but a snare. As a football coach, when I began to call the plays to please the people in the stands, that's when I got myself in trouble. When I began to call the plays thinking, what are they going to think? When it was 4th and 1 in our own territory and I went for it, I was thinking about going for it. I couldn't think about what are these people going to think if we don't get it? Because I know that if we get it, they'll love me. But the reality is I might not get it. And then you know how that goes, right? You can't coach like that. You just can't coach like it. Call the play and run the damn play. That's it. Run it. And live with the consequences of it. My whole life I've been able to deal with that. So I call the play that I see and I run it and I live with the consequences of it. And as I always told all those guys, listen, dude, when I run a lousy play, when I call a lousy play, let me tell you something. I knew it before you knew it. You understand? You sitting up there in the stands, you up there in the peanut gallery. I knew it was a bad call when it didn't work too. You don't have to tell me that. What a stupid thing. Who do you think I am? So the same thing applies here spiritually. What do you mean, coach? Well, here's what I'm trying to do. Let's go to Psalm 1. I'm sure Jared's got it up there. I'm just gonna focus just on Larry. I'm just gonna focus right here on the first verse. I know Larry will always keep me honest. Chad, good to see you there this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. To me, that's pretty profound that would be the first thing that David would write in the psalm. Now, please understand that there is some counsel that is not given by ungodly people. It's godly people giving ungodly counsel. Somebody give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm talking about. Godly people giving counsel that is marred by fear, marred by whatever, something else has influenced them. So the counsel they're giving you is not godly. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I always got nervous when people come up to me and say, Coach, I got a word for you. Because I think, well, okay, I'm listening to this word for me, but I got a question. Why did the Lord tell you and not me? I know him. He lives right inside of me. I hear his voice. It seemed to me if he wanted to get a word to me, he'd tell me. And so when people come and have a word for me, I take that with a grain of salt. I do. As do I all prophecy that I hear from people. When somebody says prophesying about this and prophesying about this and I saw a vision about this, well, okay, I hear you, but I'm not basing my life based on what I just heard from you, okay? Blessed is the man who walks them out in the council of the ungodly. Say, Coach, where are you going? Hang on, I'm struggling to get there, okay? Because I've just seen this. I was thinking today, how many guys, followers we follow, that's not the right word. How many guys who are in the queue, have been in the queue, where are they? Some of them have fallen off. Now, some of them maybe are, you know, they're listening to it. Maybe they're listening to it later. They used to be live, active, engaged in it. And some, I feel responsible again as a coach. Some of the players where are they? Stop coming to practice. I'm just using a football term. And it's often that often happens for several different reasons. Something has discouraged you. Something has pulled you away. Something has drawn you back in. I'm going to tell you guys. Okay, I got it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just heard him. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. You guys know I love you. You know I do. Hey, some of you are being pulled back down into the pit. And here's what's happening to you. You start talking more and more about some of the things that you're learning here. You take some of these, see, I don't want to call them new things because there's nothing new under the sun. Certainly don't want to call it a new truth. How arrogant would that be to think we've discovered a new truth? But we shine light on some things that we've been taught that I believe we've been mistaught that aren't true. And when you begin to go out and share that with other people, what's the reaction that you get? Can somebody tell me the reaction you get when you begin to share something new that's been exposed? See, it's not new. Something that you now see that you didn't see before. What's the reaction that you get most times when that happens? Somebody help me. Come on.
Push. You get pushback.
You get pushback. What do they say to you, George? Five things. What type of things do they say to you when you get pushback?
They'll say things.
People accuse me of having a superior attitude that I'm the only one that knows the real truth. Well, you know what? Because I know the truth, I might be the only one, and there were times I thought I might have been until I met the Q.
Amen, Larry. And here's listen. I've seen this personally. I haven't, but I've seen it. I've run into people who've seen UFOs, and no matter how much you ridicule them, you're not going to change your mind what they saw. You know what I'm saying? You can't unsee truth. And what happens with a lot of people is they go out and they try to talk about a new truth that's been revealed to them in a different light they've never seen before. And they have received ridicule. People pull them back down into that hole and say, no. Then they try to question who they heard it from and how does he know? Are you with me? Somebody follow me. I'm not talking to myself. I know what's going on here, see. I understand what's going on. It's troubled me all weekend. So the Lord took me today to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and stay with me, okay? Hey, Sarge, it takes some courage to stand up for what you believe. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it is the great dividing line. Truth, it is the great dividing line. Truth is. And most of us are content living in the lowlands of our spiritual faith, thinking that we have God in this box, and we're living life on one level of Christianity when it's so much deeper than that. We don't even understand it. We can't get it. So the Lord drove me today to 1 Corinthians 2. I didn't even know where it was in the scripture other than I Googled it and found it. Stay with me. Here we go. You ready? Hey, boys, I'm talking to you out there. Boys and girls, I'm talking to all of you right now. Blessed are those who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. All right? People who've never been outside the box telling you don't look outside that box. Oh, no. I peeked up there one time. Oh, no, don't you go up there. You stay right down here. You live this faith right here in this little box, and it'll be okay. You start peeking out there, oh, my goodness, you better be careful. There's a lot of lies and stuff out there, but go and watch Fox News. Go listen to Rush Limbaugh. You have to turn on CNN, but, oh, no. That Bible, you stay right in that Bible. Don't you peek your head up out of there, and don't you look at anything else. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul says, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. I'm going to read that again. That your faith must not stand in the wisdom of men, but that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. See, the wisdom of this world and the princes of this world don't come to anything when it's all said and done. You with me? But we speak the wisdom of God, look, in a mystery. Wow. What? Yet we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. What kind of wisdom is that, Larry? The hidden. You mean there's some hidden wisdom? Are you kidding me? You mean there's more to this gospel than what your pastor that you've been sitting under for 25 years told you? You mean there's hidden wisdom? Stay with me. I'm just reading the word. I'm just reading the word. That's all I'm doing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord's glory. See, there's wisdom out there that not everybody can see. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Okay, here we go. You ready, George? But now we've not received, but now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet him himself is judged of no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Go back up there a little bit, Jared. Because here's why. I think I skipped right over and I didn't mean to. Where is it? The deep things. The deep things. Where does it say the deep things? When we speak the wisdom of God, the deep things. I want to go deep. I want to go deep. If you want to stay in the lowlands in your box in Christianity, then stay there. But I want to go deeper. I know it's in it, Jared. I just read it this morning. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. See, guys, listen. There are shallow things of God. There are shallow things. But there are deep things of God. And you know what is scaring us most? Is we don't want to go deep. Because when you go deep, it brings conflict. It brings conflict with those you fellowship with. It brings conflict within your family. It brings conflict with the people you go to church with. When you go deeper, and you ever have I ever say this to you? Man, if you knew what I knew. What does that mean? If you knew what I knew, does that mean he's smarter than everybody else? No, it means he knows something you don't know. And if he knows something that you don't know, don't you want to know it? Don't you want to know it? And doesn't this right here tell us that it seeks the deep things of God? Do you want to know the deep things of God? Or do you just want to know mainline Protestant Christianity? Get saved and serve God. Is that what you want to need? Or do you want to know the deep things about what's going on? And I'm finding more and more sensing, that's the better word, sensing more and more and more people who are poking their head up out of the hole. Stay with me. They're poking their head up out of the box. They got their hand on the railing, and now they're up and they're looking out of the box. And what's happening? People are grabbing by the pants and pulling them back down. No, get down in here. Get back down here. They say, no, I want to go deeper. No, get down here. Dangerous what they're teaching. Dangerous. So, George, I'm giving fair warning. When you go deep and you seek to go deep and you ask the Lord to reveal deeper things to you, he will. But when you go deep, you are going to be separated. You understand it? It is a dividing line. When you get out of your box, when you get out of the box that whoever has placed you in, when you begin to get out of that box, you're going to see resistance like you ain't never seen.
Hey, Coach.
I say that because I'm getting a lot of resistance because I'm out of that box. Yeah, Larry.
You know, a lot of deep things come through very simple means. For example, back in Psalm 1 where you started this morning, you start, blessed is the man. Well, you know, that word blessed is spelled exactly the same word as blessed. But blessed is a more churchy term. It's a more feely, touchy-feely term. But blessed is the key. Blessed is the man. Now, some simple things. There's a difference between the word nor, N-O-R, and the word or. The word or gives you options. The word nor includes all in the list. So it's as blessed as the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor also he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor also he sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So all three things lead to that blessing.
It does, Larry.
There's a simple thing called a corollary. For every truth, there is a corollary to it. You learn that in geometry. You know math. Mm. You taught math. But a corollary to blessed is the man that sitteth, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, is if you take counsel from the ungodly, or you sit in that seat and you scorn people, or you stand in the road, not to participate. It says if you stand in the road that the sinners are working in, if you standeth in that road, then guess what? That blessed part ain't there.
Wow. Did you ever look up that word? Scornful? Scornful? Holy Spirit just said, look up the word. Scornful. Larry, that's good, man. Blessed man walks on the council, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scornful. What's it say, Jared? Scornful. Full of scorn. I hate it when it does that. What is scorn then, Jared, if it's going to tell us that? It's contemptuous. Well, people don't even know what that means. Click on scorn, see what we come up with. Scorn, open dislike and disrespect or derision, often mixed with indignation. Is that happening to you? When you try to share with them something that the Lord has opened your eyes to, do you ever get open dislike and disrespect or derision, often mixed with indignation? Who do you think you are? An object of extreme disdain, contempt, or derision, something contemptible. Are you feeling that? Are you getting that pushback? Let me tell you something. You're getting that pushback because you're going deeper. You are going deeper. And there's some things that you know right now. George, I'm not even going to pick your brain, but I know this, George. I just know this. I know this, Sarge. And I know this, Chad. I know this, everybody. You've already been dealing with some of this. You've already been dealing with it. As you begin to try to open others' eyes to things that have been revealed to you, you can't unsee what you see. And you try to reveal that to others, they're not receptive of it. And I'm going to warn you of this. They're going to do everything they can to pull you back into your box. Okay? I'm going to encourage you to this. You get a hold of that truth, and you hang on to that truth. Don't let them take it from you. Because the Lord's going to take you deep. If he can trust you with the deeper things of God, if he can trust you with the deeper things of God, 24 wants to find out first, can he trust you? I got a song over here I want to play. Anybody want to comment on that? Huh? Tuesday morning, everybody's in bed on me today. Trying to get my computer up and running. Came across a song. I didn't come across it. I had a song. I've enjoyed this song for a long time. And I probably, if we play this, Jared, they'll probably. Rich just texted me. Those skunks needed to die. Still making enemies here. Miss you all. Rich is out building my house. But hey, Jared, click on this song. This is a song called Solomon's Temple in David's Heart. Have you guys ever heard it? Probably haven't. Because this is where, listen, guys, this is it. This is written by Randy Smith. And here's the words, and I'm going to play the song performed by somebody else. Jared, I don't know whether they'll censor us or not. I don't know, okay? Solomon's Temple. What is a church? Where does it start? Is it a building? Or is it a heart? If you know the answer, then we can agree. It's not a building. It's a heart that's willing to let God lead. Solomon's temple was not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple, David's heart, religion and Christianity. Knowledge and wisdom was Solomon's plea. He never asked God to let the Spirit lead. Solomon never asked God to let the Spirit lead. But David laid on his face and prayed continually. He cried, "For heaven's sakes, Father, don't take your Spirit from me." Solomon's temple was not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom doesn't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. Solomon was a wise man. Of this, there is no doubt. In fact, he wrote all those Proverbs. He built a great cathedral, but he left something out. He wrote in Ecclesiastes, "All is vanity and despair." Even though his church looked perfect, he knew God's Spirit wasn't there. Because Solomon's temple, not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. Listen. When David ran to take on Goliath, you get that song ready, Jared. Next link. When David went to take on Goliath, remember what happened on the way? He ran into Saul. What happened to Saul? What'd Saul try to do? Saul tried to dress him up in Saul's army. Saul tried to dress him up in all of the tricks of the trade that he had learned. What did David say? David said, no, that ain't the way I operate. I'm not going to put on that old religious garb. I'm going to be a man after God's own heart, and I'm going to run and use what he's trained me to use. And the greatest struggle for some of you right now, thank you, Lord, is you want to be in David's army. But you want to do it with Saul's armor. You want to do it the way it always has been done. And if you do it the way it's always been done, you're going to get what you always got, right? If you want to try to operate in the spiritless garb of Saul, go for it. By the way, that's the lure a lot of you are facing. The draw to come back. Come back in the box. This is the way we've always done it. Put on our armor, and some of you are faced with that challenge right now. You're going to be in Saul's army, or you're going to be in the army of God? Huh? Play that song, Jared. Solomon's Temple. This is by the Rabbit Easter Band. I don't believe the Rabbit Easter Band is the one who did the song, but the Rabbit Easter Band, this is the only one I could find. This is Solomon's Temple and David's Heart. Go ahead, Jared. What is a church?
Where does it start? Is it a building? Or is it a heart? If you know the answer, then we can agree. But it's not a building, it's a heart that's willing to let God lead.
Yes, Lord.
Solomon's temple was not like David's heart.
Don't make you spiritually smart.
You may find yourself to see if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple
David's home.
See, some of you are deceived because you can't tell them apart. The old church ways.
We never ask God to let the Spirit lead. But David laid on his face and prayed continually.
Yes, he did.
He cried for heaven's sake, Father, don't take your Spirit from me. Solomon's temple was not like David's heart.
Nope.
Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. Solomon was a wise man.
Wow.
Solomon's temple was not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple. You may find yourself to see if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. Solomon's temple and David's heart.
All right, boys, there it was. Remember this, you may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart. See, Solomon's temple has the outward appearance of all the flashings and beauty of the Lord. But David's heart was a heart after God. And if you're not careful, you are going to be drugged back into Solomon's temple. Larry, am I making sense? Am I just preaching to me today? I just feel under the unction of the Holy Spirit, this is the greatest challenge many of you are going to face in the days coming ahead. People are going to try to drag you back into the box. What do you think, George?
I think that's right.
Drag you back into Solomon's temple.
Yeah. But you know, Coach, what I think for me, once I've gone too far. I mean, I have no desire to go back. That's bondage going back. It's freedom moving forward.
I want everybody listening to this show to understand this. Wait, hey, Larry, I got to use that line. Sarge, you ready? Here it is. If you knew what I knew. If you knew what I knew. And see, that's why I don't get mad. Because I know you don't know what I know. No, I'm not making myself out to be smarter. Do you understand this? I'm not making myself out to be smarter. I got David's heart. See, I couldn't care less about Solomon's temple. I got David's heart, a heart after God. And you know what's happening in my life? I had this conversation with my wife yesterday. I'm a totally changed man than I was even 2 years ago, than I was 5 years ago, than I was 10 years ago. Can I tell you why? Because I go deeper. And the deeper I go, the more committed I become to my faith. Tell Coach, you're out there. Now you're out there chasing. You're chasing tinfoil hats. You're chasing UFOs and giants. And you're chasing all that stuff. Well, I got David's heart, baby. I'm searching out the deeper things of God. I want to be able to try to figure out, not the right word, I want to be able to understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel's supposed to do. And I believe that knowledge is out there. But it says there it's the deeper things of God. The deeper things. Larry, are you going to say something? Was somebody going to say something? Because I got go to John 12 while they're doing that, Jared.
I was just going to say yesterday, one of my neighbors asked me, says, hey, are you still following Coach Dave? I says, well, we still have, I still participate in the huddle thing. I says, I don't, not a follower per se. Anyway, they said, well, doesn't he have some weird ideas? I says, not about the Bible. Mm. I says, I mean, some of his other ideas are weird, but not about the Bible.
Thank you, Larry. And by the way, what makes something weird? What makes something weird?
If someone doesn't understand it.
Yeah. And they haven't always heard it, right? See, Larry, those same people that stand, I'm weird, are sending their kids to public schools. Those same people, right? Those same people that stand, I'm weird, are the same ones that think that Republicans and Democrats are different, right? That's the same people. They're all stuck in a box, all been programmed, which I keep promising I'm going to get to. But the Lord's got me right now. I want to credit my wife. But she gave this to me this morning as I was getting ready to come down here. Where am I? I'm in John. This whole thing's good. Starting 35, John 12:35. Boy, oh boy, man, the Holy Spirit is, I don't know what it is there. It's stick here. Oh, Lord. Jared, let's go to 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we've heard of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who's the Son of Man? Do you believe this? You've been hanging around these guys. They still don't get it. Jesus said unto them, goodness, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness doesn't even know where in the heck he's gone. You know any of those folks out there? While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spoke Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Wow. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. My goodness. So some of you watching the show, your spirit's come alive and you want to deny it. You're walking in the light and you want somebody to turn the light off for you. Anybody want to jump in here? I'm going to switch gears. I didn't mean to take that long on it. Maybe it wasn't for you. I'm going to tell you it was for me.
I'll tell you what you just read there. With those who don't open their eyes to the light of Jesus, Jesus is going to go and hide himself from them. But I tell you what, the light of Jesus for a certain amount of time, there's going to be the time when Jesus pulls back, and I don't care how hard you look, you ain't going to find him. People beware.
You know, Larry, I caught a lot of flack over this last weekend over still catching the flack, and I don't care. But see, it's a total, complete misunderstanding. People do not understand the word violence. They don't understand it. See, they immediately go physical. That is not, when I say from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence and violent men take it by force. They don't understand that you can be violated without physical harm. You can dig into my bank account and violate me. You can say things about me publicly that violates me. You can say things about the kingdom of God. You can say things about Jesus that violates others, that other people are harmed as a result of what you say, not even what you do. Your words are available to violate. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated. It's been changed. It's been stolen. And violent men take it by force, not men that go out with guns and bullets. And no matter how much I say that, hey, George, see, no matter how much I try to clarify that, there are those people trying to pull others back in the box. See, they were just looking for something to separate them. Some reason not to watch the show. Why? He promotes violence. Not if you listen to the show. No. If you listen to Right Wing Watch, yeah, you'll get that. It's a total, complete misunderstanding of the scriptures, a misunderstanding of what's going on. And I, for the life of me, cannot tell you how much deeper my faith has grown and how much more committed I am. So the purpose of this little spiel today for 40 minutes, I never dreamed I was going to go 40 minutes. The whole purpose of it was, I'm trying to give you fair warning. Trying to give you fair warning. The deeper you go, Jim Kraft just wrote this to me. Let me tell you what Jim Kraft just wrote. God bless Jim Kraft. He says, searching out the deep mysteries of God will also separate you from the mainstream church and cause those around you to shun you and ignore you. The Apostle Paul was ignored as well. Folks, truth divides. Truth does. And do you want to know the deep things of God, or you just want to know the shallow things of God? You say, well, Coach, if a lot of that stuff that you were teaching, how come my pastor isn't talking about it? I don't know. I don't know. Does he know everything? So I've been there 25 years. I've never heard him mention that. Really? Where have you been for 25 years? Under the same pastor? Well, that ought to tell you something. Doesn't make him a bad guy. He's teaching you what he knows. What if he don't know it all? Remember, boy, if you knew what I knew. Hey, George, do you know some things today that you didn't know a year ago and folks around you still don't know?
Absolutely. You know, Coach, I used to struggle with that, especially when I first started listening to your show, is, and why don't some of these men of God know these things? And then the more I learned, I realized every man is just a product of how they've been educated.
Everyone.
And most men of God today, they know very little prior to 1830. We won't get into that, but so therefore they can't know some of the deeper things without studying it.
It doesn't make them bad people, George. It doesn't make them bad people, right? If I want to be a doctor, I want to do surgery, I'm not going to go to an auto mechanic. I'm not going to go to a nurse. I'm going to go deep and learn the intricacies of the body.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to encourage people to do. You don't have to believe something because I said it. But are you comfortable? Come on now. How much is your faith growing every day? Are you getting stronger and gone deeper every day? Are you desiring to know the deeper things of the Lord? Hey, Larry, maybe I was wrong. Didn't it say the hidden things? Didn't it say that, Jared? Didn't it say the hidden things? Let's go back. What was it? 1 Corinthians 2? Sarge, help me out here. Didn't it say the hidden things? Where is it? Now we've received that spirit of God, this big man, got to teach the natural man this thing. Himself, no man. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of things. I thought it says hidden things. Yeah. All right. I'll move on. Anybody else want to jump in here? I'm just trying to encourage you, okay? Trying to warn you of what you're going to begin to hear.
Verse 7 talks about the hidden.
Thank you, Larry. I knew it was in there someplace. I couldn't find it. but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God before the world, God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hidden things of God.
You know, see, I mentioned earlier about the simple things. You know, I believe it was George mentioned that these preachers and everything are teaching what they've been taught. And, you know, the Bible says things. And what the Bible says, I think, should override what any professor says in a cemetery or a seminary or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Bible says that there is no need that man teach you anything because the Holy Spirit can teach you.
Got you at all truth.
Why have so many of these, quote, pastors out there, why have such a huge majority of them totally ignored that verse, and they still go day after day, week after week, year after year, more of man's teaching and getting man's diplomas hung on their wall? Where's the one seeking to get the Holy Spirit's input?
Well, Larry, our good friend, my nose guard, Robert, just texts me, says, Coach, we're lazy. We will not read, and we will not search ourselves, not knowing is no excuse for God. It's like this. Do you ever lose something in your living room? And you go to your wife, you go to kids, hey, did you guys see this? Can you guys help me find my keys? Anybody know where my keys are? Where are they? And I look and look and look, and I can't find it. My wife can't find it. And all of a sudden, my child or my grandchild comes along, and boom, they find it. Say, how'd you find that there? It was there all the time. It was there all the time. They weren't hidden. They were just hidden from what I was able to see. You had to search for it. Truth is the same way. Robert, you are so right. We are so lazy. I'm consumed by this stuff. Maybe I need a sabbatical, huh? Maybe I need a sabbatical. Roger, you've been quiet today. You've been listening? You listening to me, Roger? Do I need a sabbatical?
I have been listening. You don't need a sabbatical.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Because it's the deep things. The deep things. And I'm telling you, my faith continues to grow. I'm looking over here. Anybody else? No? Okay. I want to play something here. It's just about 5 minutes. Who was it that said? Thomas Jefferson, I think it was. Said, those who remain, those who believe that you can be ignorant and free are hoping for what never was and never will be. If you think that you can remain ignorant and free, you are hoping for what never was and never will be. Knowledge is power. All right? And today, because of the internet, we have so much that we know now that we never used to know. Jared, ask yourself. Jared, I got this one up there. It says, should Christians be informed about this? Okay. Let's say you're going to go to Sunday church. And I'm not picking on church, although that's why. Solomon's temple and David's heart. Solomon's temple and David's heart, right? I got David's heart. As the deer panteth for the water. I want to know the things of God. I want to know. I don't want to just have a churchy look. I just don't want to have a big, beautiful temple. You with me? So the things that are going on around us in the world today, do you think that the average Christian has any idea? And is it the obligation of our pastors and our churches to have our Christians be informed? Now, this is just a quick little 5 minute clip on, as we watch this, ask yourself whether Christians ought to know this, whether this ought to be, see, we hear about the end times and everybody's believing for the end times and things are getting worse. We all believe all that stuff. And then we don't know anything that's going on, the truth of anything that's going on. This is just a 5 minute clip and I put it up there. Do Christians be aware of this? Would this be sharing the gospel as well if this stuff was exposed? Go ahead and play it, Jared. It's 5 minutes.
Hey, what's up, guys? Gons here for the Face Like the Sun channel. Barna Group, which is a Christian organization that does polls and statistical analysis of Christians within the church, reported recently about the worldview of Christians right now, and it's pretty disturbing. WorldNet Daily reported on the findings. Only 17% of Christians have a biblical worldview. And Christianity Today headline, many practicing Christians agree with Marxism and other competing worldviews. And we can get into the minutia of the data that's shown here, but to go over it briefly, you have new spirituality. This topic in particular is very infectious in terms of its reach in the church, because if you look at it, 39% of city Christians, 25% of suburb Christians, and 22% of rural Christians all agree that people pray to the same God or spirit, no matter what name they use for that spiritual being.
So freeze that, Jared.
Towards monism.
You get that, folks? 28, 27, 32% of Christians believe that we all pray to the same God. That's pretty staggering. Go ahead, Jared.
This is the result of the New Age movement, which I'm sorry, folks, but I documented it in Age of Deceit, Fallen Angels, and the New World Order. The New Age
should Christians know this?
Is Luciferian at its core. Meaning and purpose come from becoming one with all that is. 37% in the city said yes, 25% in the suburbs, 19% in rural areas. And it also goes over secularism and postmodernism as well as Marxism. Now, what's interesting is that with all of these views that oppose Christianity, the highest concentration are found in cities, especially if we look at the Marxist perspective, 22% as opposed to 6% in the suburbs and rural areas believe that private property encourages greed and envy. And 27% in the city believe that the government, rather than individuals, should control as much of the resources as necessary to ensure that everyone gets their fair share. Now, this leads me to a very important thing that's happening around the world right now. And it's a topic that's familiar to anyone subscribed to this channel. Take a look at this data and see the concentration of these ideas in cities and point out the fact that smart cities are all the talk right now. Forbes just published an article today, how Telefonica is using IoT or the Internet of Things and big data to build smart cities. This is the fourth industrial revolution that we've been talking about on this channel as part of the UN 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda. It's all part of the new
Christians know this?
Trying to create a one world government, a one world economy. These things can happen with smart cities if everything is interconnected.
Should Christians know this?
Large metropolitan areas where the inhabitants of these cities will be living under the Luciferian doctrine that opposes the gospel. And as part of that, they will continue to push for human evolution and human efficiency. You will hear that word a lot in the world of business, in the world of communications, computing, everything else, efficiency. We've already heard it, but I think they're going to push that idea more. And as efficiency becomes part of
artificial intelligence
and how we shape our lives, that's when we start talking about transhumanism at a large scale, like cities, where the Internet of Things becomes a part of us in more ways than just a tool to use, but actually integrating with our biology, integrating with our neural chemistry. It's going to integrate with our senses first, our visual, our perception, our smell and taste, and you know those things. But then beyond that, what are they looking for? They're looking for that interconnectivity, fully identifiable biometrics to monitor you, Big Brother, all those things that we've talked about that allude to a mark of the beast, an image of the beast, where if you don't take the mark, if you're not part of this system, you will basically be killed because, one, you can't buy or sell anything. Two, because you don't worship the system, the beast, which is set up by the dragon. So I just wanted to bring this up because it's pretty alarming that only 17% of Christians have a biblical worldview, according to this study. And that means a lot of Christians that are out there, especially, you know, you have brothers, sisters, friends, family, they're like, oh yeah, I'm Christian. They're walking around and, you know, especially if you live in more highly concentrated city-like areas, which technically I live in the suburbs, but, you know, we have the spillover from Los Angeles and this area is definitely being developed rather quickly Case in point, when I first moved to Orange County, there were actual orange trees everywhere. It was really beautiful out here. Now, it's all housing, it's all business structures, business centers, marketplaces. They've completely annihilated the orange from Orange County. This is part of the process, but I think what we're going to see is more of that, especially if you are in these areas. And if you're a Christian living in this area, share this video with them. Talk to them about these issues, because what's going to start happening is that, you know, it's going to basically be, hey, abide by the system or you can't function in our cities. If you don't have a cell phone or if you don't have some kind of biological identification or something like that, it's going to get to that point, because we are building a virtual panopticon where we monitor ourselves, and we do live under a scientific dictatorship, a technocracy, and ultimately a Luciferian philosophy that drives all those things, which takes our focus away from the true spiritual matters about where you are going to spend eternity. Have an awesome day, guys. God bless.
Wow. Wow. So see, you carry most of those things right there into your church and your tinfoil hat, right? Your tinfoil hat Christianity. Yeah, we know Christians believe in the mark of the beast, where they believe in all that. You start talking about transhumanism and the way that they're now coming up with artificial intelligence and the manipulating of data. Should the church be aware of this? Should we just go to church on Sunday and hear a warmed over sermon about how you're supposed to live a better life? Or should we be alerting Christians to exactly what's going on? Hey, Roger, good question. How can only 17% of people going to church have a biblical worldview? Anybody have an answer to that?
One, they're not reading their Bible.
Right?
And two, the pastor's teaching them a non-biblical worldview.
It's got to be one of those two, doesn't it, buddy? It's got to be one of those two. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm not trying to discourage anybody. It's the last thing I want to do. But when I went to university, I have a master's degree. I had a lot of different teachers. A lot of different teachers. Can somebody explain to me why in America you have one teacher and that's your pastor? That's the only one you have. Him. I learn everything. Oh, I listen on radio to John MacArthur too. Do you ever get anybody that takes you, as we just saw, into the deeper things of God? Here's your promise. When you get taken into the hidden things, right, Larry? The hidden things, and do the deeper things of God. When you do that, you are going to automatically find yourself ostracized and set apart. And my warning for you today has been, you better understand the game, because it's happening to some of you right now, right where you live. They're trying to drag you back into a box. Somebody help me close it out here today. Silence isn't golden. What's that? Say it again, J. Arms. Stun the crowd?
The crowd.
Yeah. It is true, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it true? Hey, George, I want to say this because I want you to hear it. My wife said this to me the other day. I said, you know what, honey? I don't have any of my old friends. I don't have any of my old friends. And she said, yeah, but look at the ones you got now. And she mentioned George. She said, look at George, look at Larry and Robert and Rich. And she started going down the litany. So my goodness. Why? Because you guys are willing to go deep. And because you're willing to go deep, the Lord is doing something amongst us. Do you get that? Do you get that? Not shallow Christianity at some building that you go to and hug people that you don't even know because they're members of the church with you. For the most part, you have very little in common with them. Very little in common.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead, George. I'm sorry. Go ahead, George.
Hey, just real quick, you know, Scripture clearly tells us that if we want something, if it's according to God's will, we have to ask for it. And so I find myself asking, especially when I feel dry, Lord, give me your heart. Give me a hunger for the things of you. And you know what? He always, always does. Mm. What a great God we serve.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's all the deeper and the hidden things doesn't necessarily mean they're complicated. many times they are very simple.
It's the key. Many times it's the key that unlocks something that you've always wondered about your whole life, right? Listen, folks, I can preach the salvation gospel. I can do that. I can do that. But I want to go deeper than that. I want to go deeper than just salvation. And everything that I believe and everything that I follow and everything I learn is creating a bigger picture of this thing we call the gospel, the full counsel of God, the hidden things, the deep things. It's expanding my belief system and building and increasing my faith. It's not taking me away from the essentials. I understand now more than ever the great need for salvation and our need to go out and help people come to the knowledge of the truth. By the way, the scripture still tells us that we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're never going to know it all. And I got to say again, as we sign off, if you only knew what I knew, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.